happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Kate Barnhart.
Welcome, Kate Barnhart. How long have we known each other? I mean, I think I first met you, and you are 50 now?
50, yep.
When you were about 15 and you were an AIDS activist, show one of those early pictures of Kate working with ACT UP. We were both working on getting AIDS education in the schools back then. There you are, Kate.
Yeah, it's been about 35 years.
And we should, full disclosure, say you are the executive director of New Alternatives for Homeless LGBTQ Youth. What's that? And I'm the president of the board.
Right. So it's a multi-service drop-in center for LGBTQ youth and young adults in Midtown. So we provide everything from food to psychiatry, pretty much all kinds of services in between.
You're dealing with a population of young people who often live on the street or are otherwise homeless. But you also, in addition to that, I don't know where you get the energy, you're also an activist with Rise and Resist and groups. Show the picture there. You're advocating for flipping the Senate. When was this? Back in 2000. Well, whenever the time I think we did flip the Senate then.
Yeah.
And it can be done again. And then the next picture is with you with Rise and Resist, who have been out there at the No Kings demonstration, and in this case, saying no dictators in the USA. And you were also arrested at Trump Tower. There you are, arrested in Trump Tower. What were you protesting?
Well, we were protesting about the killing and deaths of people in ICE custody or while being arrested or detained.
And your T-shirt says?
It says, "Hands off New York City." So that's a message for Trump and ICE as well.
And ICE is invading New York and doing terrible things.
They are, and in fact, we have been identifying the cars they are using to kidnap our neighbors and then standing there and pointing them out.
Fantastic. And we also have a picture of you with the New Alternatives crowd, young people, adults who are involved. There's council member Eric Boccia in the back towards the right, who's going to be co-hosting with me next week.
That's great.
He's gay also. Let's move on to the headlines for this week, shall we? Data says that there are now 25 million of us in the USA.
And the log cabin Republicans have officially ditched transgender people. So now they are the LGB log cabin Republicans.
So brave. This is a terrible story. This happened this month. A trans man was attacked with a hatchet in Spokane in his home by an anti-LGBTQ bigot.
That's disgusting. So another defeat for the anti-LGBTQ school board crowd in Florida.
Texas Tech is rooting out LGBTQ content from curricula and collateral damage, including in Holocaust studies.
Then the Ohio Republicans have found a new way to torture transgender people and attempt to suppress their votes.
New Jersey's Democratic governor, though, has moved to protect reproductive and trans rights.
And then a federal judge has blocked Trump from gutting the very successful teen pregnancy prevention program.
You've probably read about the right-wing attacks on the WNBA over its support for trans rights. They're intensifying, even though there are no transgender players in the WNBA.
They were actually...
We'll get to it.
Yeah, the protest on Friday?
Yeah.
So, we remember LGBT icon Dolly Parton, And we were just talking about how there are some speculation that she might have not just been supportive of the community, but part of it.
We'll see. She certainly was welcome. The out gay prime minister of the Netherlands, we're going to show him to you, has a message for the world about us. And?
Russia labeled the nation's largest LGBT group and Pope Francis extremists.
Yes.
And didn't the Russian group have to disband because they couldn't do their work?
You're getting ahead of yourself. That's what the story
sorry
is.
About
these
that?
Are just the headlines. We're just trying to tease people to get people interested in what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
All right. So, and by the way, you do work in homeless services. And the New York Times did this big profile of this guy, Joe Lonsdale, a Trump ally punk, co-founder of Palantir, which... it does a lot of stuff with ICE, right?
Yeah, and the last ACT UP anniversary, we wound up lying down in the street in front of Palantir.
Well, he runs something called the Cicero Institute, which is shaping policy on homelessness, and he's working to make it a crime to sleep on the street, banning camping, which is passed in 16 states, forced treatment of substance abuse and mental illness, calls for public hangings of repeat violent offenders. And, you know, despite all his work, homelessness is up more than 50% in the last decade, 266,000 people. So how is this affecting your work at New Alternatives?
Well, we're seeing a lot of young people arriving from other states. And some of that is because of the anti-LGBT laws being passed. But some of it is also because they're not able to remain in states that have criminalized homelessness. And so they're coming to New York to find safety and get away from those kind of policies. And the thing is, what they don't realize is that it costs way more to incarcerate someone than to house them.
Of course.
So, you know, they're...
But they're building all these ICE detention centers, and when they finish getting rid of all the... people from overseas here, they're expelling, they'll use them as prisons. Well, there is resistance, however. 1 year after the Pulse, happened, where the crosswalk there, where they painted it over, right?
Yeah.
Orlando protesters continued the chalking. So, I mean, of course, this was probably covered over right afterwards. But here's a report on this from Orlando. If we can pull that up.
Today marks 1 year since the crosswalk at the Pulse Memorial in Orlando was painted black by Florida's Department of Transportation. Without warning, their crews swooped in overnight to cover up the rainbow colors with black and white paint to align with state guidelines.
Now, since then, all colorful crosswalks in Orlando have been covered. Our Sarah Winkleman recaps the last year for us and shows us why some people say the fight is far from over.
A message etched in chalk.
It's been a year. We're not going to stop chalking.
That first day, it was pure shock.
It was like, what cruel world are we living in?
Then the effort got more organized to unite.
We formed bonds and friendships and, you know, family.
James Houchins has led the chalking effort. He's been out there nearly every day. Even got arrested at one point. Now he's planning to take legal action against the state for violating his rights to protest.
What they meant to silence us has done nothing but kind of hand over a megaphone and say, well, we're not gonna leave.
The city of Orlando has tried filing an appeal with the state, but made no progress in the past year.
To deface a memorial was a disgusting thing to do, and I'm very upset about it.
Commissioner Patty Sheehan said that local government has little control since the crosswalk on North Orange Avenue is on a state-owned road.
This is just bad public policy based on bigotry.
After the Pulse crosswalk was repainted, the city got a letter that 18 other colorful crosswalks in the city needed to be covered too.
Why would you be so angry about rainbows and a memorial that you throw public safety out the window. It makes absolutely no sense.
The Florida Department of Transportation has not responded to any of our requests over the course of the year and new attempts this week for information about how many trips their crews have taken out to the crosswalk and how much public money has been spent on this effort for the past year. The state has also not been responsive to city leaders who now say their only option is a change in the administration.
I think it's the governor's race. I really do.
Commissioner Sheehan said once there's a new governor, city leaders plan to file an appeal with the state to bring the rainbow back.
You know, one of the very first actions of the governor, hopefully the new governor, will be to restore the Pulse crosswalk.
Now, protesters told Sarah that they plan to be out at the site chalking later tonight to mark the 1 year since the rainbow was painted over.
And I want to thank our viewer, Rich, for bringing all this to our attention. We do depend on you out there to do things like this. And we obviously, you know, you have a chance there in Florida to elect Mr. Jolly, the Democrat, as over this Byron Donalds, get rid of all the DeSantis policies. Okay, I want to talk about this trans man, Alexander. This is from Spokane, Washington. Take a little time with this. This trans man, Alexander Wolf, was just sleeping at his home. Now, there he is. A guy comes to the door with a hatchet who's smashing up stuff around his house, complaining about the guy has a rainbow flag on his property, and then enters and starts hammering away with a hatchet at him. I mean, he was there with his family. His fiance was woke. He had children in the house, all this kind of stuff. It was just horrible. And now they say the guy may have been
schizophrenic is what they said, but still you can't go around attacking people.
Well, you know, my friend David Rothenberg, who used to be a human rights commissioner in New York, said, and he had a press conference about this, when organizations like the Catholic Church, now of course it's more, you know, the Republican Party and all these things, demonize people who are LGBTQ, you send signals to disturb people that these are the people who are the source of all the problems in the world, and you need to do something about it. He said this guy who attacked him, who has been arrested, was twice his size, struck him with a hatchet 7 times.
And it's a miracle he survived, really.
And this is a guy, he was schizophrenic, maybe schizophrenic. He had no criminal history, but you know, he was just inflamed by a rainbow flag, basically. And I think Mr. Wolf says at the end of it that I don't have to have pride flags out, but I feel like as a transgender man, when I put pride flags out, it's not just saying this is who I am. It's telling other people in my community, there are people here just like you, and you can feel safe in this neighborhood. Well, I mean, obviously, that's not really the case. So he said.
Yeah, and he did say that even since he put out the new flags, that they've been disturbed a couple times.
You have rainbow symbols outside your house in Brooklyn there, don't you?
I do. I replaced my curtains with rainbow flags some years back, and I live in Bay Ridge, which back then was very conservative and is still. We have the only Republican from New York, although we're hoping to flip that seat.
Well, we send our all our sympathies to Mr. Wolf there in Spokane, but I want to show something that Spokane activists did. They held a drag brunch to aid fire recovery efforts. I want to run this video.
Well, dollar bills are a familiar sight at a drag show, but those dollars carried more weight today at a show in Spokane. Crem2's Emily Fox Million explains how a day built around entertainment became another way to give back to the victims of the Spokane complex fires.
At a drag show, dollars are part of the act. But at Sashay and Slay's Drag Brunch Sunday, the money meant more than a tip.
If I could do one thing and just a little drag show with some raffles and it makes a difference, then that's all I need.
Victoria Summer St. James created, hosts, and produces Sashay and Slay. She's been performing in Spokane for 13 years. And after watching the Spokane complex fires tear through communities this month, she wanted the show to give something back.
community. This community serves me for 2 years now at the Comedy Club, with 150 to 200 people every event twice a month. So the only way that I feel I can give back is this way, is to do a fundraiser and raise some money for what's near and dear to my heart.
The show brought together performers from across the Inland Northwest, with one even returning from Las Vegas. Money from merchandise sales, a silent auction, and other fundraising efforts went to organizations helping with fire recovery, including Spoke Animal, Second Harvest, and Home.
Why donate to one organization when you can donate to several different organizations?
For Spoke Animal, that support comes after weeks of helping fire victims care for their pets. Staff say they've collected and delivered donations and continue helping families replace pet supplies lost in the fires.
Yeah, and if we can help by giving them stuff for their animals, you know, that people have donated to us, and they don't have to spend money or worry about that, like, it helps them because they have extra money to start rebuilding their life.
And they say it doesn't take a big donation to make a difference.
Like $1, $5, it doesn't matter how much. Like, anything helps.
$1 at a time, a community known for putting on a show is helping its neighbors get back on their feet.
Through drag, we bring cheer, we bring fun, we bring excitement, we bring joy in a world that right now is so uncertain.
And this time, every dollar of that joy could help someone recover. In Spokane, Emily Fox Million, Crem 2 News.
This reminds me of the activists in London who, back in 1984, decided to raise money for striking miners who were being oppressed by Margaret Thatcher. You know, I mean, in other words, another cause other than just something specific to ourselves. And it's wonderful what they did, raising money for the victims of the fire. By the way, we have apparently gotten a viewer complaint that we should have talked about Dolly Parton at the top of the show. I think by the time most people see this, they will have heard tons about Dolly Parton, and we are going to expand on her contributions to the LGBTQ community, AIDS community, later in the show. So hang in there. Okay, and
so the log cabin Republicans dropped transgender people, even though their previous statement was that, you know, basically consenting adults should be able to do what they want to be able to do, and now they've turned an about face.
We have that picture of Ross Heminger, who's the head of the group, standing there with Susan Collins. Now, Susan Collins, he's supporting Susan Collins, who, you know, occasionally says something nice about gay people and then keeps supporting the Republican majority that is oppressing us. So, you know, and as long as the Republicans are in the majority, we're not getting anything.
Yeah.
And the Trump onslaught is going to continue.
I mean, hopefully Collins is in a vulnerable race.
Yes. She definitely is. And Heminger said that the shift away from transgender advocacy does not change who can join the Republicans, the log cabin Republicans. This is a group that maintains a close relationship with Melania Trump. I don't know what you're trying to tell us about her. Just awful. I mean, just awful. I mean, just cowardly. At this time when transgender people are under such attack. Anyway, but the Human Rights Campaign did an analysis of Census Bureau data, and now apparently we, LGBTQ people, make up 12% of the adult population of the United States. Now, you know, this ought to give Republicans pause. You know, we are a bigger voting bloc than, and we vote more Democratic than almost at this point, but they don't seem to care. They've written us off in every way possible. But they now say there are 25 million of us across the country.
And the percentage is rising among the younger generations as well. So when they're ready to vote, there will be even more LGBT representation.
Right. Where is this? It is especially high among younger people. Of course, they've grown up being able to know who they are all the way along. I mean, you, of course, work with young people. Is that what you find, that they, you know, I can remember people, I used to work at the Hedrick Martin Institute.
Yeah.
People would come a little unsure of who they were, but they were trying to get some counseling. What do you find now?
Now what we see is there's a real complete paradigm shift in the way that young people think about sexuality and gender. So whereas, you know, even, you know, 20 years ago when I was doing this work, the young people were still thinking of the gender binary, and now they just see gender as a continuum. And so, you know, we keep having to add categories to our intake form because the young people are no longer identifying as those old, you know, gay, bi, lesbian. Now it's all these other things like pansexual, etc. And so, you know, the attitude has changed radically.
Right. And very few, I identify as a gay man, all right, very few people identify as gay. And very few women identify as lesbian these days. It's more queer. Bisexual has become a huge category now. And of course, when I was a kid, very few people came out as bisexual. What's going on?
Well, I think...
How do your clients identify?
We see a lot of young people identifying as pansexual, which is kind of, I see that as a catch-all in a way. You know, it's like, you know, attracted to people on the basis of who they are rather than their gender. So that's, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon.
Maybe that would be a better world. All right, we've done the Log Cabin Club. All right. Here's encouraging news. A federal judge has blocked Trump from gutting teen pregnancy prevention programs. This is Judge Christopher Cooper, an Obama appointee. It blocked them from stripping the teen pregnancy prevention program, which was a bipartisan sex education program that's been running since 2010. Do you have anything to do with that?
Well, I mean, not specifically, but I can say, you know, I mean, we met during the battle over sex education and HIV education in New York City in the early 90s.
Quite a struggle.
Yeah, it was a struggle. And these are the same people who we used to sit at those Board of Ed meetings and listen to them rant and rave about all kinds of misinformation and stereotypes and garbage. And these are the same people trying to push this agenda.
And the judge is essentially saying, you know, you can't override what Congress has established. But the problem is, you know, Trump does that all the time, but the Congress doesn't assert its authority in saying, right, we appropriated this money, we passed this bill, you're the executive, you're supposed to carry out what we said to do, you know, just like you're the executive director of New Alternatives.
The other thing the judge pointed out is that this is a phenomenally successful program. Teen pregnancy rates have dropped substantially.
Yes. So why not just try to screw it up? All right. All right. HRC, Human Rights Campaign, is also saying that this trans Medicare Medicaid ban is not just evil, it's dangerous. The new rule bars federal Medicaid funding from covering health care for minors. Doesn't just threaten the estimated 130,000 young trans people with losing Medicaid coverage in states where care is still legal. The legal theory could be used to deny Medicaid coverage for other drugs entirely. This is, when are people going to wake up to this? You know, you can jettison trans people, but it's going to come back to bite you in the rear.
Yeah, the one good piece of news is that I just came back from Massachusetts, where Governor Healey has announced that Massachusetts state will cover the cost of hormone therapy and counseling for trans youth who were formerly covered by Medicaid. Now we're looking at you, Governor Hochul, because we're looking for New York to do the same thing for our young people here.
Yeah, all the states. And I have found that a lot of the New York officials have been resistant to what it's going to cost to cover things that the federal government is not. And we've got to come through with it, or you can't say you're for these young people or for people in general and not cover these things. Okay, you may have heard this week that the Navy leadership is discussing renaming a Navy aircraft carrier after President Donald Trump, instead of who it's already been designated for, this is him, the heroic black sailor Doris Miller, as was previously announced. And it was announced during the first Trump administration that they were going to do this. See, in the first Trump administration, he was awful. Now he's just incredibly awful. But, I mean, in this case, you got Hegseth, who hates black people, who hates women, and he wants this done. And, you know, it's so racist. They've never, first of all, never named a ship after a sitting president, ever. Doris Miller, you know, was a hero at Pearl Harbor, who was given many, many awards for what he did under that attack.
Yeah, he was actually a mess officer who grabbed a gun and shot down a Japanese plane and also hauled a bunch of wounded soldiers out of the way.
Right. So a true hero, unlike President Bonespurs, who avoided service. And of course, he helps his, none of his children are volunteering to serve in the military for his illegal wars. And nobody seems to care about that. And this is on top of Hegseth taking Harvey Milk's name off a ship. And while this is happening, you know, the stories are building up. Hegseth is driving the military right into the ground. Yeah. He can't find anybody who could be Senate confirmed to serve in key positions in the military. We're at war, if you care about things like that.
Well, he also has let go a number of very qualified generals because they were either black or women or LGBTQ. So that's creating a vacuum in leadership in the military.
It's shocking. By the way, we told you last week about Julia Curley, who was the CIA officer who used to brief Mike Pence, who has been forced out in the second Trump administration for being transgender. And so she and two other LGBTQ people in the CIA, or formerly in the CIA, wrote a history of LGBTQ officers and the Central Intelligence Agency. And we will link to that in our email. And if you want to get our emails, go to gayusatv.org. They write that the CIA spent 7 decades moving from purging LGBT officers to embracing them until the second Trump administration. And of course, again, they're losing so much expertise. You know, I'm trying to be rational here, but if you care about the security of the United States, you don't want to lose these people. All right, Governor Mikey Sherrill, she signed a law, a shield law that criminalizes interference with reproductive and transgender health care while barring a range of officials from aiding investigations spawned by states where such care is illegal. Have you encountered this where, you know, people are threatened by, you know, people like the Attorney General Ken Paxton in Texas, who goes after people in other states and things?
I haven't seen it happening yet, but I have seen a lot of fear, and that's causing people to shut down services preemptively, which is really problematic.
Problematic. It's terrible. What kinds of services are you losing access to?
Well, in particular, we've seen multiple large hospital systems in New York City shut down their trans youth care.
Private hospitals. And that's a big question, because are they able really to access the services now in other places? City hospitals, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, there are some places you can still access trans care as a minor, but it's obviously, you know, it's a numbers thing. So the remaining places can't, you know, take radically increased numbers of patients. So
what are your young people doing when they need these? What percentage of our clientele need these services?
It's roughly a third.
So what are they doing to get the...
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's a long history of people accessing hormones on the black market, which is obviously not safe, but people do it. I think folks are largely using the nonprofit clinics like Cal and Lord and Apicha and Housing Works, but there are waits sometimes for services now.
Well, I mean, so we ought to be on Mayor Mamdani and Governor Hochul and saying, why aren't you beefing up these services now that they're being cut by all the private hospitals?
Yeah, and I also think the Attorney General needs to continue not just to tell them that they can't do this, but to actually enforce
it. In the beginning, they told the hospitals that were cutting it, you can't stop
it. Right.
And they have stopped it anyway. So why aren't they being prosecuted?
Exactly.
For discrimination. I mean, yeah. They all say they're afraid. They all say they're afraid of losing, per the Trump order, all coverage of Medicare and Medicaid for everything. Cowards. Got to stick together. All right. In politics, that South Carolina senator appointed Darlene Graham, the brother of Lindsey. She, of course, despite saying, I don't know anything about foreign policy. Don't ask me questions like that. I mean, I care about. But when she said she didn't know anything about foreign policy, she said, I think people in South Carolina are more worried about boys in girls' sports. Now, this, of course, is the main issue for Republican candidates all across the country. You know, like, because, and if we don't, you know, we know that it's boys and quote unquote trans girls and girl sports is just a tiny fractional, infinitesimal yeah. kind of a thing. But if you go to Fox News or if you go to the Fox News site, it is the top three stories almost every day. This is drummed into them. This is what motivates the guy with the hatchet in Spokane. You know, it is what makes people crazy. They think it's like the most important thing in the world while you're being robbed blind by the Trump administration.
This is why Rise and Resist protests every Tuesday at Fox News, because that misinformation is driving a lot of the right-wing politics.
Absolutely. Anyway, and then, of course, you know, she also said during her debate there are 50 million people in South Carolina. Darlene, there are 5.5 million people in South Carolina, but, you know, you need a briefing on that. But, you know, she may be right that people don't care about, you know, the foreign policy. I mean, Trump has betrayed yet another ally, South Korea, because he's pals with the North Korean dictator. You haven't heard a peep of criticism from Republicans about that. I mean, I don't get this. Trump is now running an anti-communist campaign, and he's buddies with Xi and, you know, the South Korean dictator, the last communist in the world. I mean, I just can't.
In this administration, it doesn't have to make sense.
Whew. All right. Okay, now let's talk about trans migrants. They in ICE detention, they are losing their rights and medical care. There's really no bottom to this. They got rid of an Obama-era policy, which provided for basic rights and treatment, especially from sexual assault and harassment in detention centers. And now none of that is operable.
I have to say, though, that this was not really being enforced. People.
Oh, under Obama or Biden.
Well, I mean, more recently, since Trump and the ICE crisis started, the conditions in the migrant detention centers, they have not had access to health care or protection from sexual or other assault. So, you know, this is just putting on paper what they're already doing.
Well, the DHS responded to the New York Times and questioned that we're not wasting U.S. taxpayer dollars to provide hormone therapy to illegal aliens seeking to change their sex. But it is a humanitarian disaster, isn't it? Okay, a positive story, Sarasota, Florida. We had another big school board win, and these are very important. You know, we've told you how Moms for Liberty, which is this right, took over the Sarasota board, especially this woman, Bridget Ziegler, who got involved in a big scandal with her husband and threesomes and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. She didn't even run this time. But Democrats beat them this time and now will be the majority on the board.
It's so fascinating how these people who are all about purity somehow managed to always get swept up in these sexual scandals.
Well, Donald Trump is a certified sexual harasser. Even the Supreme Court says so. All right. In Iowa, a trans band teacher, Ace Rios, he'd been hired to teach music in Tabor, Iowa. He'd already started setting up the classroom. And then somebody complained that he was transgender before he could even get started, and they wouldn't approve his contract.
Yeah, it was a tied vote, 2-2, which you would think that maybe a tie maybe doesn't mean you lose your job, but apparently in this case it does.
Yeah. This is a guy who was kicked out of his own home at the age of 16, but he said he accepted this job offer. He had the support of the staff. He was extremely qualified. And now, this is Iowa, where they were one of the first states to protect people on the basis of gender identity, and they were the first state to rescind a coverage for people with gender identity issues, and they also forbid localities to cover right. these things, which is just such an outrage. Now, he's still covered by the Supreme Court Bostock decision.
Right.
I don't want to be technical here, but you should all know about it. The Supreme Court, Gorsuch wrote this position, which said that discrimination against transgender people and all LGBTQ people is discrimination on the basis of sex, and therefore illegal. So it's only an employment, but he's got a case, and he's looking for legal counsel to try to help with this. And you should all know this, that you, no matter what the local laws in your state are or city, you can sue if you are discriminated on this basis. All right? A better result from the Wake County School Board in North Carolina, again, libs from TikTok, which is this anti-trans group, went after a teacher there who was apparently non-binary at the Middle Creek Elementary School. We don't even have any names about this, but everybody flooded the meeting and said, "I want my kids out of the school. They shouldn't have a trans teacher." Da 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 da. Blah blah blah. And what did the board do?
They kept the teacher.
The district and the teacher had many who showed up in her defense, and the meeting was finally closed with no capitulation. The NAACP showed up there this is Kelly Wilhelm, who's the president of the Raleigh Apex chapter. "Tonight I'm speaking in support of an educator, a young teacher who was in her first job out of college, teaching music to elementary school children. She chose education. She chose to serve children. She chose to bring the arts, creativity, and learning to the classroom. And instead of finding encouragement, she's become the target of political attacks because how she wants to show up in the world. Let me be clear. No teacher should be targeted, harassed, or publicly vilified because of their gender identity." NAACP.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful statement.
Encouraging.
Yeah.
Encouraging. More people need to stand up to them. And then there's Texas Tech. We've talked about them in the past, led by Chancellor, what is his name, Brandon Creighton. Now they're using, he runs the Texas Tech system. They're now using AI to ferret out books and content of curricula on topics like sexual orientation and gender identity, and saying you got to close this course down, you got to take this stuff out, you can't do this. I mean, it's a witch hunt. And a French studies professor worried that her core course called Holocaust and Literature, it will be shut down because it mentions that gay and bisexual men were also the targets of Nazis.
I think they made it an elective, didn't they, instead of
yes,
a core
that's what,
course?
Yes, that's what they're doing. This will no these things can no longer be core courses. The Holocaust has now become an elective, and it has a chilling effect on education. I mean, people in these states used to be more concerned that their kids got good, well-rounded educations, and so that they could go on and mix in the world. But now there seems to be no concern about that.
And if there was ever a time for people to be informed about fascism, it would be now.
Yes. They don't like us doing that because there's so many Nazis in the Republican Party now. And I'm not exaggerating. These are self-identified people at this point.
Who walk around with their tattoos.
Right. The Department of criminal justice in Texas has quietly removed documents from its website pertaining to the care of trans inmates. And of course, they're now denying them treatment in the Texas prisons. I mean, you got to have court cases about this to try to stop it. But prison, your prison, yeah. You can't have anything to do with it. A spokesperson for the, our side said, for those who have had certain surgical procedures as part of their transition, the denial of hormones could be life-threatening outside of the mental toll of being denied their approved health care.
Yeah, and they don't care at all.
It's absolutely brutal. On the other hand, we got a good decision from Kansas, where a judge issued an order temporarily reinstating a driver's license for one trans woman. And the ruling state, she's likely to just, of course, what they did there is they sent people letters, right. And they said, you got to get a new license if you don't have your birth sex on the license. So this person who's been going around town on a scooter, because she's not allowed to drive, if she got caught with the other license, they're invalidating those licenses. Now, her name is Jamie Miller. She believed that this didn't apply to her when she got the letter because she had received complete gender reassignment surgery in 2013 and had a court order legally identifying her as a woman. So this isn't just about people who declare themselves to be transgender.
Right.
This is a person who's gone through the full,
Pretty much everything you can do, yeah.
I mean, and of course, under these bathroom laws, Jamie Miller is now supposed to go to men's rooms, right?
Right. And there was just that situation in Kansas where various trans men around the state went into men's rooms following the law as a form of protest.
Bearded trans men in many cases.
Yeah.
But they were just following the law.
I was very impressed by that action because one of them took place in my grandparents' hometown in Emporia, and I've been there. And that is not an easy place to stand up for LGBT rights.
Right. M. Gessen of the New York Times, trans themselves, wrote about this Kansas situation and how awful it is. And Ms. Miller's case bears it out. She has to care for a disabled daughter. She has to get the daughter to run errands, hospital appointments, all these other kinds of things. She has to ask family and friends to drive her places now. I mean, what the cruelty of this is just unbelievable. This is why it's painful to do this show every week, to have to talk about these things. And yes, we will talk about the wonderful... By the way, Miller is a military veteran, and she has filed a lawsuit about all this. In New York State, we got a picture of him, Bruce Blakeman. The Republican candidate for governor is campaigning with a flat earther who calls Muslims sand people.
Oh, great.
And he thinks AIDS is a bioweapon. This is Bruce Blakeman associate Marcus Williams, who chairs the Republican Party in Rochester. Now, the idea that Bruce Blakeman might even have a chance of becoming governor of New York.
No.
I mean, they say it's a 10-point race. And it was the last time, too, and then it went down to like 5 points for Governor Hochul.
Wow.
So much for freedom of the press. The Defense Department fired the publisher and editor of the Stars and Stripes, which was the government-funded independent newspaper for the military. And Stars and Stripes was started during the Civil War by the Union in 1861 to get news to the front to soldiers, and it operated independently and always gave them, but now
they're complaining that it's too woke.
Hegseth's spokesperson says we're going to modernize its operations. It will focus on war fighting, weapon systems, fitness, lethality, survivability, all things. No more repurposed DC gossip columns, no more Associated Press reprints. Associated Press, so woke, of course. I mean, that's, you know, these things better be changed under the next administration. But of course, you know, we'll just keep going back and forth in this country. Might be time for a divorce. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Ohio has discovered a new way to torture transgender people and make it harder for them to vote. Let's talk about what they did. The Bureau of Motor Vehicles stopped allowing people to change the gender marker on the driver's license and state ID cards to reflect someone's gender identity instead of requiring the marker to match a birth certificate or passport. Previously, Ohioans could change their gender marker on their licenses by submitting a form to the BMV. But now all that is gone.
And just so people know it, because I see this in our clients all the time, if people have one gender on one of their documents and another gender on the others, it causes a lot of difficulty getting a job, enrolling in school, all these things, because first of all, it's outing them to people. And second of all, like when you try to sign up for like these online, Social Security as an online system, etc., when things don't match, you can't get through the security clearances.
Right. The Equality Ohio spokesperson said, changing a policy this consequential overnight without warning or transparency is not an accident. It is a choice. It is a deliberate attempt at voter suppression. All these things are geared towards suppressing the vote in the midterms.
I mean, they're not hiding at all that they're trying everything they can think of to try to swing the vote.
And by the way, HRC issued another report that shows that, you know, if you were a corporation that kept DEI, corporations like Costco, Apple, Delta, nothing bad happened to your stock, nothing bad happened to your company. Caving to political pressure is a choice, not a financial necessity.
Which reminds me that right now there's a call for people to boycott Target as they buy their back-to-school supplies because of the DEI issue.
They cut DEI. Yes, they did. All right. You've heard about this. Have you followed this WNBA stuff where they're really going after a handful of people, but very vocal, going after them for having players that support transgender rights?
Yeah, in fact, on Friday at the Barclays Center, a bunch of anti-trans protesters showed up at the WNBA game, and a bunch of folks from our side were counter-protesting.
Wow. Don't you have anything better to do to improve this country? No, you got to keep these. Of course, the WNBA doesn't even have trans players, but we got a picture of this guy. His name is Enes, E-N-E-S, Cantor, and he's changed his last name to Freedom. He goes to the game just to taunt people. So this Natasha Cloud there in the foreground, who's a guard for the Chicago team, and she's a genuine activist, she stood up and called him out. She didn't speak to reporters afterwards, but she said, you belong to trans people. You're loved, you're seen, you're perfect as you are.
And the Liberty used their Jumbotron to project supportive messages during the game as well.
And a few weeks ago, this guy Freedom tried to declare himself eligible for the WNBA draft, a stunt, you know, saying I can just walk in and I can become, even though I have a penis, I can do that. It's grotesque. Now, the Human Rights Campaign is going to have HRC game day takeovers in 5 cities. We're going to link to that. WNBA players and coaches are showing up for equality, and here's how you can join them. Okay? All right. You've been waiting to hear about Dolly Parton, which, of course, has been, you know, most of the news of the last week. Let's talk about her legacy. She was definitely an LGBTQ ally and a gay icon, dying at the age of 80.
Yeah. I mean, there were rumors, because she had a very close relationship with a female friend. There were rumors that maybe she was part of the community, but she would never confirm that.
Well, she denied it. I mean, she said, I'm not, you know. I mean, she whenever she was asked a controversial question, she gave an answer that kind of tried to soothe both sides, you know, like on same-sex marriage when she was after she supported that. She says, why not? Why shouldn't they be as miserable as the rest of us? Not a great answer. But look, she had a great record in many respects.
Yeah, I feel like she expressed her political views through her giving. Like, if you look at the things she supported, they were mostly extremely progressive and LGBT friendly.
Her production company produced Common Thread Stories from the Quilt back in 1989, a documentary about the Names Project. So she was there from the beginning. But, you know, in her songs, her 1991 album, Eagle When She Flies, was a song that says, regardless of religion, lifestyle, or sexuality, family is family. When she was asked about the bans on trans people in restrooms, I hope that everybody gets a chance to be who and what they are. I just know if I have to pee, I'm going to pee wherever it's got to be. She always had a clever answer also to make people think about these things. And on Larry King, she was on there in 2017, she explained her advocacy for LGBTQ rights that has drawn criticism from Christians. And she said, I kept saying, if you're the fine Christian that you think you are, why are you judging people? That's God's job. We're not God. We're not judges. We're supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to judge. And when a lesbian patron of Dollywood in 2011, her theme park, was forced to turn her pro-marriage equality shirt inside out, Parton Dolly was quick to issue a statement reaffirming her unwavering support for LGBTQ rights and marriage
equality. And to apologize for that incident.
She also did the song Traveling Through in 2005, a tear-jerking, award-winning song written for and performed by her for the 2005 film Trans America that starred Felicity Huffman as a trans woman. So she did all these kinds of things and was really there for us in so many ways. And, you know, she had a 70% approval rating in this country. Nobody has that.
Wow. Yeah.
It's the highest approval rating for any public figure. It's just amazing. And she got along kind of with both sides of the aisle. She was a fabulous philanthropist, has left her $500 million estate mostly to charities. She helped fund the Moderna COVID vaccine. We talked about this on this show and took one of the first doses while singing vaccine to the tune of Jolene. I mean, come on. And by the way, her autobiographical musical premiered in Nashville last year, and it opens on Broadway in January and would have been her 81st birthday. A couple of quotes from her. I look like a woman, but I think like a man. I've done business with men who think I'm as silly as I look. By the time they realize I'm not, I've got their money and I'm gone. And she said, the way I see it, if you want the rainbow, you got to put up with the rain.
She also once said that if she was a man, she would be a drag queen because she's, you know, fancy. Basically, well, I forget the exact words, but yeah.
We do want to pay tribute, of course, to all of her contributions, and she was just a beloved figure by almost everybody. Let's get so thank you, Dolly Parton, for a life of service that will continue after your death. All right. We also want to praise the out Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Rob Jetten, who has a message for the world. He taped this as he received an award from Attitude magazine.
Hi, everyone. I'm the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Rob Jetten. We're here in Amsterdam at World Pride, and I'm very honored to achieve the Attitude Pride Award. When I was 15 years old or so, I knew that I was attracted to boys, but I was so afraid to open up about it. And now at 39, being the youngest and first openly gay Prime Minister of the Netherlands, I wish I could tell that young boy to not be afraid, to be yourself, and to live your life. And that is something that we should tell each and everyone around the world that is struggling with their identity at the moment. There's a lot of work to be done. Of course, over the past decades, we've achieved great things, like celebrating this year 25 years of open marriage to each and everyone. It was a historic moment also here in Amsterdam when the first 5 gay couples in the world said yes to each other. We're proud of that moment, but sometimes a little bit too proud. because we've also been lazy over the past few years. LGBTQ rights everywhere around the world are under huge pressure. We see it online, on social media. We see it in the streets, in bars, in taxis. We see it in countries where new legislation has been introduced to actually criminalize gay rights more instead of improving them. Also here in the Netherlands, a lot of work needs to be done. We see that the acceptation of queer rights under the younger generation is under huge pressure. We see political parties that are openly attacking gay rights or discussing new legislation, for example, to roll back on trans healthcare. But we can win this fight. I'm pretty sure about that. We can win this fight by teaming up as queer community all around the world to support activists in countries where the pressure is the highest. We can team up to make sure that there are role models and inspirational approaches all around the world that we actually share and make sure that we don't have to invent a wheel in every country where we're fighting back to these conservative groups that are attacking us. As a prime minister, I'm trying to play my role in this. In the Netherlands, we are introducing new legislation to better protect trans people, to make sure that gay or lesbian couples that want to start a family have an easier access to surrogacy, to make sure that our police forces is better equipped to protect gay people, trans people, drag queens that have been attacked in our cities, and to invest heavily in education to make sure that our young generation is educated and inspired in the right way. And I'm very confident that in the next few years, we can show the world that gay rights are human rights, that love is love, and that we are able to win the fight against the conservative forces that are trying to hold us back. This award, very much grateful to achieve it, is not just an award for me, but it's an award for each and every politician, human rights activist, NGO, or just a simple bystander that decides not to be a bystander anymore, but to be part of the conversation, to stand up and speak out, to make sure that we can win this fight.
Their way to work or home from work, you know.
Well, thank you, Prime Minister Rob Jetton. And, of course, internationally, we're running out of time here. But in Russia, you know, they went after the Russian LGBT network, and then they're just shutting down entirely because they've been labeled a terrorist organization. And they've also gone after Pope Francis, the late Pope. They tore the pages of his book out that had anything positive to say about gay people. So the book is titled Hope, by the way, which is an extremely short supply. It's been great having you here. During the show, we just learned that Tim Curry died, the actor, and we will talk about him next week on the program. Thank you for being with us, Kate.
Sure. I was happy to be here.
And we will see you all next week when I'll be here with State Senator Eric Boettcher.